248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same way to text us if you'd like to communicate that way. We're talking about the Tigers. Round two of the playoffs, the divisional series, begins tomorrow afternoon in Cleveland. Tigers and the Guardians, undecided for the Tigers at this point, going against Tanner Bibee of the Cleveland Ball Club. I kind of want to see Reese Olson get the start tomorrow, like see something conventional a little bit there, and although it won't be completely conventional because I'm not sure how long he's going to go for if he gets the start because he has only made a couple of appearances since coming back off the injured list, but hopefully he's got enough to get you four or five innings. That would be great. And it's going to be interesting this series to see how the Tigers handle the combination of Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor. We had the Birchie kid come on and talk to us in the first segment, and he said it well. Those two guys account for basically all of Cleveland's offense. Yes, there are people that help out a little bit here and there, and Kwan is a really nice table setter, if you will. But these are the guys that do all the heavy lifting. These are the guys that had over 30 home runs each. These are the guys that had over 100 RBIs each. I think 118 and 108 respectively. And Jose Ramirez is absolutely a Tiger killer, and that's why I don't even want to face him. I just give him a free pass. I give him the Ken Griffey treatment. Don't pitch to him. But I like Jose Ramirez.
What if he flicks off A.J. Hinch like Griffey did to
then
Sparky?
Then I no longer care about Jose Ramirez.
Is that what Griffey did? I forgot what he did that you didn't like.
Oh, he grabbed his package.
All right, yeah.
Because Sparky would show him the respect of not pitching to him. You're too good. You're going to beat us. And finally, they pitched to him. He hits a home run, rounds the bases, and as he's rounding first, headed to second, grabs his crotch in Sparky's direction. I'm like, you suck. Now, I'm guessing there's something else there with Ken Griffey because his father played for Sparky in Cincinnati, and maybe lifting Ken Griffey Sr. to bring in somebody else to play. I don't know. It could be a family thing. But yes, I've held that against Ken Griffey Jr. for my entire life. So if Jose Ramirez did something like that, yeah, I'd turn on him too. Let's go to the phones. Dan is on his cell phone. Dan, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Dan.
Gator, are we having fun yet or what? I used to have that T-shirt, right? That old T-shirt. Are we having fun yet?
I got to tell you, man. You've listened to me for years. You know, I'm a huge baseball guy. I love when the Tigers are playing well. And I don't know if there's going to be anything more satisfying than this season when I look back at it, because nobody thought, myself included, that this team was going to put something together to be playoff eligible. Now, when we started to see a little bit in August, we dared to dream, and then we get shouted down for daring to dream. But here we are. We're living a dream.
I think I told you, I'm wearing my lucky Tigers hat, which is the Kansas City Royals hat I bought when I was in Kansas City and watched them play the Cubs. And it's like, man, and ever since then, I was kind of like, I was so frustrated at the trade deadline, but shame on me for sort of being frustrated, but and trading my loyalty in or whatever. But I guess I'm calling you and Kang were talking about how, you know, Scott Harris has this philosophy of owning the strike zone, but on the defensive side, you see Chris Fetter, AJ Hinch using pitchers in a way, you know, that's their philosophy, right? I think we are. And you saw how great the infield defense was during the Houston Astros series. I mean, I was shocked, right? And we got Trey Sweeney, you know, I think everybody thought, hey, could we get anything for Jack Flaherty? That would be but we've got this great, you know, the shortstop, you know, and in Trey Sweeney. How do you feel like, are they managing the team that way that we're going to, you know, and I think I also explained to Kenny, Major League Baseball rosters right now, extra base hits and home run power have dominated how they fill lines, right? So we see it with the Yankees. Everybody kind of ran that direction, spent money that direction. The Tigers have sort of the kryptonite to them, right? We are going to induce ground balls. We're going to sort of play better defense on the infield. And really kind of keep it 2-1, you know, these five total run games, or winning 3-2.
Yeah, and thanks for call, Dan. The Tigers are great in one-run games, and Cleveland's been just as good as the Tigers have. I think both teams are 7 games above 500 is a stat that Doug had when it comes to one-run games. But, yeah, not to be unnoticed is the defense. And it's funny because A.J. Hinch even points out in the game where the Tigers beat the Astros a couple days ago in game 2, they didn't play perfectly defensively. There were mistakes everywhere. Can you point out the Colt Keith bobble at second base when they could have had a double play, didn't finish it off? Okay. You had the ground ball that Torkelson makes the first great play on, but he doesn't throw it home well enough. You know, that's not good on Torque. It's not good on Jake Rogers being able to corral it. It's not good on Matt Vierling to hesitate after catching a ball in foul territory instead of just gunning it into home and keeping the runner at third base. Instead, he's allowed to score and give the Astros a 2-1 lead. But they overcome all that stuff. There's a lot of similarities with the Lions and the Tigers, Kang, about being able to overcome mistakes and not letting it, you know, sit in the rearview window. It's gone. It's yuck, throw it in the garbage. We forget about it. I'm not looking over my shoulder and seeing it linger.
Well, that's why, to me, I know that they're a good team. Like, you could say they're hot and all this stuff and they're getting lucky, but that's when you don't have as much talent as the other teams. And I'm not saying they have as much talent as the Guardians or Yankees or other clubs like that, but when you can overcome mistakes and still win games, that's how you know you're really good. And AJ Hinch said it this morning to the guys, you know, he's got to tell himself, too, when he's at the podium, like, this is not just like a heater. They're good. They believe in themselves. They're confident. Yeah, they're going to make some mistakes. They made multiple mistakes that game and still found a way to win.
It's a fun run. It continues tomorrow. We will certainly keep – I can't wait for Monday's show. I mean, Monday's show is going to be a blast, right? We'll have a Tigers playoff game to talk about and then preview another game. And then we've got, obviously, the home game to talk about on Wednesday. Time now to get our picks in for the If I Bet It segment. All right, Doug's on his way to the airport. Kang's got his picks. Kang, I will start in college, and I'm going to let you know, it's all SEC all the time for me today. I'm going to start with Georgia. They're giving up 22 points at home to Auburn. I just can't imagine that Georgia losing last week is going to sit all that well with that crew, and they are going to take it out on an Auburn team that has been turning the ball over too much. They don't know who their quarterback is. I like Georgia minus 22.
All right, Doug's first pick is at Toledo, minus 6.5. They're going against Miami of Ohio. This is his car house lock of the week, not to be confused with the Red Solo Cup guarantee.
Oh, stop.
He's taking Toledo. I couldn't give you an analysis because all you did was send me his picks.
Fair enough. Actually, it's not all SEC all the time because this next matchup is an ACC matchup, but it feels like it's SEC because these are the other two teams that have competed for national championships, and that's Clemson at Florida State. The Clemson Tigers are giving up 15 points on the road. And yet, what has Florida State done this year? Nothing. They look completely dead. DJ Uiagalelei facing his former team in Clemson, but DJ Uiagalelei is not good. Clemson is, and they're getting stronger, and they're getting better, and I think they can smell it that they can have a chance to make this college playoff. It's 15 points. I think they cover that.
All right, Doug's next game is Indiana at Northwestern. The total is 41.5. Doug likes the over.
I like the over and at as well. I had like five games on my list, but I knew he was going to go with that game. Northwestern gets the running back back. Indiana's averaging like 50 points a game or whatever it is, so I think the over 41 is a pretty good one. My final game in college, Alabama, minus 22.5 at Vanderbilt. Look, I know Vanderbilt's an improved team, but they're still Vanderbilt, and you're facing Alabama. Alabama got past Georgia last week. That was a tough game. They came out on fire and then kind of let up towards the end and needed to get some plays at the end because they actually trailed. It's my shoot the boot lock of the week. I think Kalen DeBoer has his team ready to go, and they will blow out Vanderbilt.
All right, Doug's next game is Cal getting 10.5 against Miami. Doug likes the fighting Jared Goffs. He'll take the 10.5 points in Cal.
Interesting. I think 10.5 is a lot, but you're talking about Miami going cross-country to Cal to play in this ACC matchup. I kind of like Cal on that one as well. Switching gears to the NFL, the Vikings on the road against the Jets, who are on the road. This game is in London. Vikings are giving up just 1.5 against the Jets. Kang, you know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. I think his time is done. I think the Vikings are a significant team in the NFL. They're certainly playing like it right now. It's not just their offense, it's their defense. I like him giving up 1.5.
All right, Doug is going to take the Washington Commanders minus 3 at home against the Cleveland Browns. He's a believer in Jaden Daniels, apparently.
Will not belabor that point. I also have the Commanders minus 3 against Cleveland. I am a firm believer in Jaden Daniels, and I think Cleveland's just not good enough.
Doug's next NFL game is in Seattle. He'll take the Seahawks minus 6.5 against the New York Football Giants. He's already out there. Maybe he'll go see them play live.
Maybe he will. We didn't ask him if he was going to do the double dip. No, probably not. Miami is in a pick'em game at New England. Now, at first blush, this game looks like it's the one that you must miss. because after watching Miami play the other night, good God, it was a horrible game. New England's not good. Miami's not good. It's a pick 'em for a reason. But in the end, Kang, I think Miami just has more talent. And maybe Mike McDonald's heard enough about the press talking about how awful his team is. They'll come up with enough wrinkles to beat the Patriots.
All right, Doug's last game is the Steelers versus the Cowboys. It's Steelers -2.5, I think, because he didn't write down the spread, but I think off the top of my head, that's what it is. He's taking the Steelers, and I think this is a pick he's making with his heart because he hates the Cowboys so much, and he wants the Cowboys to lose, so he's taking the Steelers over the Cowboys.
All right, I did not send you my picks, but you
that's
heard
okay.
my picks.
I heard your picks.
And I know that you're probably just going to rip on Doug because it's right in front of you.
That's exactly true, but I love one of your picks. It's the Clemson-Florida State game. I love that call, Gator. It's DJ. You better start looking for another transfer portal, Ugalunga, whatever, because that guy is not good. So that one I love.
Ugalunga.
The one I don't like is Doug's Toledo pick over Miami because he made his car house lock of the week. I wish it was the Red Solo Cup guarantee. Since it's not, I'm going to go against that Toledo. Sorry, Doug.
There you have it. If I bet it, you're allowed to bet. I have bet. And, you know, we're both basically just slightly above 500 on a season at this point. But, hey, it is slightly above 500 for the season. We'll wrap things up and continue here at 97.1, The Ticket.